Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Last night, two of Donald Trump's children took to the stage here at the Quicken Loans Arena and the Republican National Convention. His daughter with Marla Maples, Tiffany Trump, spoke about how he used to encourage her.
My dad takes such pride in all that I've done so far, no matter how big or how small. I still keep all of my report cards, some dating back to kindergarten, because I like to look back and see the sweet notes he wrote on each and every one of them.
And his son with Ivana Trump, Donald Trump Jr., talked about his father's sense of determination.
I know that when someone tells him that something is impossible, that's what triggers him into action. When people told him it was impossible for a boy from Queens to go to Manhattan and take on developers in the big city, rather than give up, he changed the skyline of New York.
And tonight, Eric Trump will speak. Tomorrow, Ivanka, both children of Donald and Ivana Trump. The GOP hopes they'll help voters get to know another side of their father. Well, you could also read a book. Gwenda Blair is author of The Trumps, Three Generations of Builders, and a presidential candidate. She teaches at Columbia Journalism School and joins us. Hi.
Hi there.
Well, you know, it's such a great read, especially if you love New York skyline and want to know the deals behind it. But take us back to the very beginning. The family name, Trumpf. The grandfather came from Germany. Donald Trump's dad, the developer, Fred. Some sketchy business practices in the beginning when he's building the empire. Shell companies to get more money from the federal government during government housing projects. But Donald, what kind of a kid?
Very competitive from day one. In elementary school, when I talked to kids who went to school with him, they said he was always looking for attention and very competitive, good in sports, not really much of a student, and but very much wanted to be at the center of the attention.
Well, you know, Gwenda, it's funny. Gary Trudeau, the the cartoonist, he does this panel of Donald Trump in grade school, but he's talking the same way. You know, I got the best library card. It's the best library card. It's the biggest. It's huge. And the people you spoke with, you know, that was supposed to be kind of a joke, but the people you spoke with said he kind of was that way.
He absolutely was kind of that way. And when he went off to military school, he said himself, he told me that that's sort of when he, in a sense, hit his stride. I think he really enjoyed it. A lot of kids would be homesick, you'd think, going off to military school. Not him. He loved it. I think it was because there were so many ways, so many contests, the cleanest room, shiniest shoes, best in drills, and especially athletic stuff. And interesting, his coach told me that he was the most coachable kid he ever had because he wanted to win.
Well,
other kids... You tell them something, maybe they would pay attention, maybe they wouldn't. He paid attention.
Well, these are seen as attributes by his many supporters and his family. He was disciplined, did not drink, did not smoke. He knew what he wanted, loved to build, had a focus, watched his father religiously, you know, as his son has said he now does with his father, you know, Donald Jr. But what fascinates me is Donald Trump's brother, Fred, who was not in this mold at all, seemed like a lovely man. His friends very protective of him because, you know, the father, Fred Sr., kind of treated Fred Jr. dismissively because he wasn't like Donald, became an alcoholic, died of alcoholism. What was the impact of that? I mean, psychologists will have a field day with this should Donald Trump become president, but what was the impact of brother Fred on Donald?
Donald himself says that was a cautionary tale for him. His sister, the oldest child, Marianne Trump Barry, who's a federal judge, told me that Donald was going to be the one. It was pretty clear early on that he was the one who loved the competition, wanted to be a killer, what his dad told the boys they should be, and really went for it. And Freddie wasn't like that. He was funny, he was entertaining, he was gentle. He didn't have a killer instinct, and he was just sort of shunted aside.
Yeah, you got to wonder the impact of that. But let's move on. The full-page ads. Okay, so now he's becoming Donald Trump. You know, he's hanging out in nightclubs as a single man. He's making the gossip pages, building his empire. But then he's taking out the full-page ads in 1987, for instance. The full-page ads about how the country's on the wrong track. He buys into the birther movement around Barack Obama. In other words, he flirts with the left and the entertainment world that he's such a part of in New York, but then he is also a deep part of the birther movement. What's happening with him?
Well, this is, if we counted up, the sixth time that he has talked about being president. Of course, this is the most serious one. But so he's been thinking about that since 1987. That's a long time for such an idea to be germinating. And he went up until this recently, he was a kind of liberal-ish positions, because partly, no doubt, because he was in New York City. But in 2011, when he became very involved with the birther movement, which was a very sharp pivot to the right, I think that was really the litmus test. And when he got the kind of response that he did, the very strong response where he was tapping into enormous resentment against there being an African-American in the White House, that was it. And he's tacked to the right ever since.
Yeah. Talk about, while he seems to, he has the television shows, he always had celebrities around him and often on his arm. Does he have friends?
Not really. The people that I talked to, and I spent over a decade doing this book, I talked to hundreds of people. Not really. He wants, as I've already said, and it's really the major theme with him, he's very competitive. The world is winners and losers. That's it. And he wants to be a winner and around winners and in the winner circle. And his idea of friends is kind of photo ops, being surrounded by celebrities, athletic champions, being in a picture, having photos of himself with them. That's friendship. He doesn't seem to have people that he hangs with.
Well, except family, very close to family, as he was to his father. Talk about the belligerent, litigious side of Donald Trump. In one instant, early on in his career, the Trump organization was sued for racial discrimination. People were people of color were trying to rent apartments they couldn't. Same people went in to who were white who could rent the apartments. I mean, it was pretty clear. He said he'd sue the government for $100 million. Instead, he settled out of court, but he said he won. Sued the NFL for monopoly practices. He got the award of $1. When he loses, he says he wins. A president is supposed to be somebody who can negotiate, who can bring people together. Your thoughts on his decades of fighting?
It's that competition thing. All his life, he has been trained from the get-go to look for the weakness in the opposition, find that tiny little hint of a give, and go for it. Immediately. People saw that, I believe, on the debate stage all throughout these debates, where he would just pounce on any little tiny thing that could be thought of as a weakness and throws people off balance. That's been what he's done all along and continues to do it.
From what you know, and you have, it's a really deep look at deals that were made and buildings that were built. What's your sense? Is he as successful and as wealthy as he claims to be?
There's no doubt that he has been quite successful, and we can't and shouldn't try to take that away. What's interesting about, there's so many interesting things about him, but one of them is that he has made that notion of success, of the best of the best, the best of the best of the best, into a brand. And so the name Trump, and what a gift that name is, has become kind of identified as meaning successful. So it's kind of, I think it's hard to kind of think one's way around, was he as successful as one might think he is?
It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter because the name is in gold and it proclaims that it is. It's a terrific read. It's been a great companion on my trip here in Cleveland. Trump biographer Gwenda Blair, author of The Trumps. She also teaches at the Columbia University School of Journalism. Gwenda, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.